Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Advent. May the Lord, who is coming soon, fill your hearts with patience, peace, and the deep joy of faithful expectation. A blessed and watchful Advent to you all. Can you tell? I've been working on my Advent salutations. Have you? I've heard a few good suggestions from some of St. Jude's parishioners. One of our ushers told me that whenever someone says Merry Christmas to him during Advent, that he will reply with, "And I can hardly wait." Christmas is close upon us, only a few more days, and then you can switch your salutation to Merry Christmas. The question is, will you be able to keep it up for the following 12 days of Christmas, even with New Year's in there? That is our challenge. Advent is a season of preparation. We all know that. Father has reminded us of the many ways parishioners are preparing their hearts and their homes to welcome Christ at Christmas. One group in our parish who has been preparing in a special way is the adult choir. They've been holding extra rehearsals all through Advent to prepare for their Christmas cantata called Hope Has Dawned, Noel, which they will sing at 9:15 right before our night mass on Christmas Eve. The cantata's music was composed by Mary MacDonald, who I remember from my time in choir was our favorite composer. We love to sing her songs. Her melodies are rich and powerful. I think they call it forte. Many of the songs you've enjoyed from the choir over the years were likely written by Mary MacDonald. This cantata reflects on the events leading to Christ's birth and journeys through the hope experienced by Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the angels, and the magi. In my own life, I've found that each Advent often brings one special event that prepares my heart for Christmas, be it a play like A Christmas Carol at the Civic Theater, or a concert, or a visit to Frederick Meyer Garden, or even the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a special event that fills you with the spirit of anticipation of Christmas. You all probably have those in your own lives. This year, I heard a concert by the All Saints Academy students at the 55-plus lunch on Wednesday. It was great. Those kids had prepared so well. So my special event might have been that, or it may be the cantata by the adult choir on Christmas Eve. But I will definitely be there to find out, and I encourage you to come too. 9:15, right here, Christmas Eve. Yes, Advent is a time of preparation, and our readings during Advent have shown how people were being prepared for Jesus' first coming. On the second Sunday of Advent, we heard about John the Baptist preparing all in Judea for Christ's first coming by baptizing them in the River Jordan. That was just before Jesus started his public ministry. But about 30 years before that, there were others who needed to prepare for Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is on December 8th during Advent every year, we saw how Mary was prepared for the birth of Jesus by a visit from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel hit her with some pretty amazing words. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High." Can you imagine the emotions that Mary experienced with that introduction from Gabriel? But we know that Mary had already been prepared for the birth of Jesus, even though she didn't know what God had planned for her, by being born sinless and living a life free of sin. So we saw what it took to prepare Mary. And she listened to the angel Gabriel and replied with her yes. "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." But then, can you imagine what it took to prepare Joseph for the birth of Christ? In our gospel today, we find out by another angel of the Lord who appeared to Joseph in a dream. Before that angel showed up, before that dream, Joseph didn't know what to do when he learned that Mary was with child. He was a righteous man, but did not want Mary to be shamed, so he was going to divorce her quietly. But that would not fit into God's plan for Jesus' birth at all. So the angel of the Lord prepared Joseph for Jesus' birth. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Well, those are pretty amazing words too. But would it be enough to convince Joseph to do the right thing? Remember, Joseph was a righteous man and he was a good Jew. He would have known his scripture, especially as it pertains to the promised Messiah. And he would have remembered the words of the prophecy from Isaiah that we heard in our first reading today. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which Matthew reminds us means God is with us. So all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through Isaiah. And Joseph needed no more convincing. When he woke from the dream, he did what the angel of the Lord had told him, and he took Mary, his wife, into his home. Saint Augustine famously observed that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. This simple, profound truth describes how the ancient prophecies of Israel find their perfect fulfillment in the life of Christ. I love when that happens. Nowhere else do we see this more vividly than in today's readings. Consider that message. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. That promise was given through the prophet Isaiah in our Old Testament reading, and it is perfectly fulfilled in the New Testament Gospel of Matthew. The message for us is a call to trust in God's abiding presence. Amid every hardship, every worry, and every uncertainty, our answer is simple. No worries, because Emmanuel, because God is with us. Let's consider the many ways that God is with us. I mean, there's the obvious one, right? The incarnation, which we celebrate on Christmas. God became man in Jesus and dwelled among us. But the reality of Emmanuel extends beyond Christ's earthly life into the life of our believing community. Though Jesus ascended into heaven, he is still Emmanuel. God is still with us. His presence with us now is not merely symbolic, but real and substantial. It transforms us. God is with us when two or three are gathered in his name. God is with us, especially in the Eucharist, in the sacraments where we receive his grace. God is with us in the Holy Spirit who was poured out at Pentecost and dwells inside each one of us who are baptized. God is with us in Scripture. God is with us in prayer. As our joyful season of Advent draws to a close, let's open our hearts to the many ways that God is with us, and in that way prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth, Emmanuel. And I can hardly wait.